To meditate is to contemplate our being, our supreme being. In the course of life, human beings generally move from a state in which they identify their being with the physical organism to a higher state in which we identify our being as our minds and the physical body as a substrate. It's in secondary. In the first stage of life, it's primary. We're in the realm of the senses. Now, many people choose to stay there, and they remain bodies who happen to have minds that are useful to give them sensual experiences. But eventually the mind becomes primary, the soul, and we become psychological beings. And when we want people to get to know us, we don't refer to the body, but we refer to the mind and our capacities for creativity and our feelings. And then we become beings who are psychological, but with a relationship to spirit and to the archetypal plane, the higher mind. And then we go, finally, when we touch spirit, we realize, no, we are spirit that happened to have secondarily mind, and in third place is the body. And once we are identified with spirit fully, no longer even just touching it, but realizing that that encompassing reality is the self, then the individual identification, even with the mind and body, fall away. And identity becomes non-local, because being is non-local. And there is a transcendent state that becomes immanent, fully in consciousness. So in meditation, we are contemplating this supreme level of being. And to reach that level of being, we have to sacrifice the addiction to the discursive mind, to the constructs of thought, and to the desires of the senses, to achieve objects of desire in the sensual realm, transcending that and channeling the energy of those lower intentions to the highest intention of reaching the Supreme Being, then opens us to the realization of the infinite, along with which comes love, joy, bliss, great wisdom, great peace. And at some point one is done with the rising and falling, the oscillation between these different levels, and one accepts one's supreme being as the self. It's a natural state of growth. It's not something difficult or achievable only by a special few. This is the line of development of all of us. The only question is, how long do we want to wait before we make the leap to our final stage of development? Why not now? Why not tonight? There are no obstacles. If the will is not conflicted about achieving your supreme being, you will feel the presence. The divine presence is here now, not in outer space somewhere, not hidden from you, not anywhere else but here. You are that. But we must give up the trajectory of the person in time and space. We have become so enamored of being persons, achieving goals within the phenomenal plane, that we are loath to give that up to reach the transcendent. And the reason why we are hesitant to let go is we're afraid that we won't rise to this blissful state, but fall into the pit of the unconscious, where the unresolved emotions from the lower level of consciousness, of infancy, and even from past lives, still remains unprocessed. And in that realm of the lower unconscious are the fears and anxieties that every ego carries. You could say primarily it is a fear of losing a base of security. There's a conflict. There's a desire for freedom, but a fear of loss of what we are holding on to that gives us both a sense of identity and a sense of nourishment and a sense of safety. That's why we hold on to those lower chakras. But when we recognize that this oscillation never brings peace, never brings happiness, and never brings the safety, the security that we want, but only actually creates anger. The more codependent we are on anything or anyone, the more then we want to get away from it. And so the paradox is generally our most intimate relationships are our most distant ones. We have less relationship on those we are more dependent on because we can't afford to open up and to love them, because then we will lose that freedom and independence that we value, even though it's an illusion. And so we're caught in an oscillation in the unconscious. And as long as we identify as perishable physical beings, then we are going to be in that infantile mindset that includes these terrors that we had as babies, of dismemberment, of helplessness, of inability to stand alone. And so even though as persons we may have become very independent, very strong, and yet the Achilles heel of the strongest, most super creative, powerful, achieving person is the need for recognition by the other. There's that secret weakness and fear of falling into the sadness of the lack of love. But through the transcendence of the level of personhood, we can bring the energy of the oneness of all that is into that realm of the unconscious, and then surrender those fears to the source and be free and no longer have those kinds of conflicts, because they relate to an illusory being, an entity that didn't even exist except in the mind. And when we are in the state of realizing ourselves as pure being that is beyond life and death, beyond all the pairs of opposites, but simple presence, then there is no fear. There is nothing to lose, there is nothing to gain. As a person, there's always a fear that, oh, I'll be taken advantage of if I become too loving, or I will lose out if I'm too good. And there's always that sense of the other will impinge on me or reject me or ridicule me or something to me. But when there's no longer a me, then there's no basis for that fear. And all the anxieties fall away with the dissolution of that me that never was at all. And then the energy of pure love is able to emerge without the obstacle of the fear that that love will be a signal to another of the wrong kind that will create a problem. And instead, the radiance will go out with absolute clarity. The signal of love, which is the divine transmission, will emerge. And it won't come from the entity of a me. It won't be an egoic thing, because that energy can only emerge when there is no ego blocking it. And so often the person on the spiritual path says, no, I can't let that kind of energy radiate out from me, because I would be egoic to think I was the source of divine love or wisdom. But the I that is the source of that radiance is not the me. It is not an ego. That radiance only vibrates when the ego has been dissolved. So it's a fail-proof mechanism created by the Supreme Being. So there's nothing to worry about. There's no rational reason to not allow the fullness of being to emerge here and now. So when we're meditating, we are being in a mindful state. Some people think it is a state of mindlessness, but it's not. It's the highest state of mindfulness. We are active. The mind is not passive in meditation. It is constantly active, but it's not active thinking with words. It is active on continually refreshing its state of awareness of its own being, which is the being of all that is. A constant focus on presence. And once that presence becomes constant, there's a transcendence even of the sequentiality of time. There comes a state when there doesn't have to be a constant activity, because one realizes that eternity is the action of giving birth to presence once and for all. And then there's liberation, even from the act of having to meditate, because there's no one any longer meditating. Being simply is. Okay. So we're eliminating the middleman. Just God acting as Supreme Being. No one does anything at all. And that is the state of liberation, grace. Okay, so there can be no real technique. But if the mind does start interfering and wanting to bring you back into the psychological level rather than the spiritual, then use a word or a phrase that will remind you of spirit, whether it's God or I am or Allah or emptiness or simply silence. But just to bring you back to that state until there is no longer a need of a reminder and the silence remains constant. And then the transcendence will happen very easily and naturally.